It's time for Christians to come out and understand that God says that this type of education that allows the little deer to express himself is ultimate and absolute sin. You let your little deer express himself and you'll have the same results as if you let your garden express itself. The hoe for the garden and the hoe handle for the child, figuratively speaking. It says in the book of Proverbs, foolishness is in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from you. Bring with you words. Now, 51st Psalm. And I want to begin by pointing out that this is the psalm. In the introduction to it, it says a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came in unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Well, in the Bible, David was an old grandfather who had already run through three or four wives and had committed adultery time and again. And in this particular case, the Bible says it came to pass in the days when kings go forth to battle that David stayed home. In other words, he'd passed his prime and he didn't want to go out where the going was tough. And he stayed home and he walked up on his palace roof and he looked over the garden wall and saw the wife of a captain in his mercenary army, Uriah the Hittite, had hired out to David. And David saw his wife, and he said to one of his court attendants, take a couple of men, go next door and bring that woman over here. It was not romance. She bowed before him. He was the king. It was a complete matter of lust from start to finish. And you know the story that after a while, David, when the woman was expectant, sent out to the battlefield and had the husband come back home. And the husband slept at the door of the house and would not go in and said, I'm no different from my troops and I'm not going to enjoy the joys of life when my men are suffering. So when he went back, David sent word by a messenger to the captain of all of the host to put this man up in the front line so the stone could fall on him. And this happened and several men were killed, including him. And when the word came back to David, we've had a reverse, the battle has been lost, but Uriah is dead. David says it's all right and condoned the thing. Then the Bible says, now this thing that David did displeased the Lord. Don't forget the fact that sin displeases the Lord. I don't care what it is you've done, but if it's sin, it has displeased the Lord. And God sent Nathan into David. And he came in and said, David, your majesty, you've traveled quite a lot in the south country. You know the place where the big highway turns around the bend and crosses the river, where that operator has the big sheep ranch with 70 or 80,000 sheep? Yeah, I know the place, says David. You remember down in the hollow of the valley, that rustler, that settler who had that tiny little place and has built the cabin there, and he had one sheep. Do you remember the place? Yeah, I know the place well, said David. Well, do you know that the man that had 60,000 head of sheep went over there and stole the one little lamb that this fellow had? Why, said David, this is outrageous. The idea that he should do such a thing. And he said, thou art the man. And suddenly David realized that that was exactly what he had done. Well, someone says, surely he was a lost soul. No, he was God's anointed. Well, could God's anointed commit adultery and murder? If you want to know what a born-again Christian can do, read the epistles and find out what Christians are told not to do, and then you'll know what Christians are capable of doing. It's a sorry mess. It says to born-again people, let him that stole steal no more. That means that there were Christians who were capable of stealing. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man. That means that born-again people sometimes lie. What does this do with the doctrine of the eradication of the old nature? It does exactly what God says it does. Exposes its folly. If a man gets up and says, I thank God I've had the second blessing and I've come to the place I haven't sinned in 8 years, 3 months, and 4 days. What do you say to that, Dr. Barnhouse? I say, ask his wife. It's just as simple as that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But you don't deceive your wife, your children, your neighbor. And if you have the type of religion that thinks you've got a second blessing and have lost your old nature, God says you're fooling yourself. And if you have another type of false doctrine and you say, oh no, we haven't lost the old nature, but there it is, and our new nature is on top, but we've had a second experience that broke the spring so it doesn't come up anymore. God says, that's worse. You say you still have it and that it doesn't work. You make me a liar because I say it works. And verse 10 says, if we say that we do not sin, we make God a liar.
Yeah, but what about the verse that says that he which is born again doth not commit sin?
These people that have two or three verses and want to wreck the whole Bible for their little track through the Bible in their particular verses. See, what the Bible teaches is this. We're born with one nature. We're born again with a second nature. Now, when you come to a verse, that which is born of God cannot sin, that means this nature. I have a nature that cannot sin. I have a nature that is as perfect as God. I have been made a partaker of the divine nature. But at the same time, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I have two natures. One is incapable of righteousness, and the other is incapable of sin. And God says, you come to me, I have put new life within you. Now you come to me and keep this nature crucified. I do. Then suddenly I wake up and I don't think of God, and I look away, and up comes this nature. Get down there. And I turn, get down there. And I say, get down there. And I sin, and get down there. And that's the Christian life. Now, Psalm 51 is the story of how this happened to David in the Old Testament. David had committed adultery. And let's face it, I have no doubt whatsoever, and I believe every preacher in this room who has dealt with the congregation would not be astonished at all if I said there are probably 50 to 100 people minimum in this room that have committed adultery. In my ministry, I've had 3 murders confessed to me. Innumerable adulteries, defalcations from banks, embezzlements, lying, cheating, stealing, you name it. And I get more than most ministers, because when I come to a city like Seattle, you get some nice elder or deacon, sometimes a preacher himself, an elder or deacon who doesn't want to go to his own preacher and look him in the face and say, I've been doing dirty things. He still smiles at his preacher and lets the preacher think he's all right, and he comes to the visiting man and goes through and has me deal with it. I know more about more people whom their preachers don't know about. Christians are a sorry lot, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is the wonder of God's love and God's grace. Now let's see the functioning of how to get back in the will of God, because there isn't a person here that doesn't get out of the will of God. You do get out of the will of God. Why, of course, I have sinned willfully after I received the knowledge of the truth. And so have you and 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 you. Well, what does this mean if we've sinned willfully? Well, it's the epistle of the Hebrews. Remember that one generation of Hebrews lived half their life before Christ died, the other half after he rose from the dead. Well, in the year 60, Paul preached to these Hebrews. Now he said, when you sinned willfully over here, what did you do? David, when you sinned willfully, what did you do? Brought a lamb. Well, did you sin willfully again? Yes. What did you do? Brought another lamb. Well, did you sin willfully again? Yes, I did. What did you do? Brought another lamb. How many lambs did you bring in your lifetime? Quite a flock. No laughter. That's tragedy. Now, says he to the Hebrews in the year 60, when Jesus died, God tore the veil in two from top to bottom and stopped the blood sacrifice of lambs. So that if we, in the year 60, Hebrews, sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth of the Lamb with a capital L, there remaineth no more Lamb with a small L, but a certain fearful looking for judgment. And he's telling Jews that they can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. Judaism is like a wedding without a bride. It's a religion without the blood salvation that comes from the atonement. And Hebrews 10:26 says, God will have none of it. You have no longer have the lamb sacrifice of the Old Testament, and you will not accept the Lamb of God, then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. All right, now let's look at the details. Have mercy upon me, O God. David went back with the lamb. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is forever before me. That's what you've got to do first. Acknowledge your transgression. And do it as God would have you do it. Don't cover it over. Now we go to a church and they have the general confession. It's very fine for a Sunday morning in a crowd. And they say we have left undone the things that we ought not to have, that we ought to have done, and we have not done the things that we ought to have done, and we are all miserable sinners. But that's not enough. If you merely think you can get by going to church on Sunday morning and saying we're all miserable sinners, that isn't what God wants you to do. God wants some of you women to say, Lord God, I am a dirty buzzard gossip. Like a buzzard flies over a field looking for dead horses, so I go around my circle of women friends trying to find something I can gossip about. Or some of you need to say, Lord God, I am a thief and a cheat. And on my income tax, I take deductions that I shouldn't take. And I not only rob thee, O God, and don't give the money I've written out on my income tax, but I rob thee and take a deduction from it on my income tax blank. There's lots of Christians that do that. This sinful thing, this is the thing that separates you from God. And acknowledge it. And acknowledge it in words. You know, there's a phrase in the scripture in Hosea. He says, return and bring with you words. Oh, we're so inclined to call things by nice little terms. Well, God says, bring with you words. Come and call things by your right names. There are some of you men that need to look in your own hearts and say, look, back in the back of my mind, I've got a secret chamber, and I open the doors, and it's all up with pinups, and I go in there and wallow. And you women, call yourself by your right name. Say what things are. Bring with you words. Now here, David brought with him words. And he came right before God, and he said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin as ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Wait a minute, David. Cross-examination. Didn't you sin against this woman in taking her honor? Oh, yes, but didn't you sin against her husband in taking her and having him killed? Oh, yes, but didn't you sin against the other people that you had killed in order to protect? Oh, yes, but didn't you sin against your whole nation in allowing defeat and all this to happen? Oh, yes, but why then do you say against thee, thee only have I sinned? Oh, when you've seen God, there is no sin to be compared with the sin against God. This is the depth of your sin, that when you lie, you have gone against him who said, I am the truth. That God is light, and in him dwelleth no darkness at all. And when you who have named his name allow your soul to be manifest in darkness, God Almighty must deal with you. And David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and I have done this evil in thy sight. And I confess this, he says publicly. This is a king. I confess, so that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I see, this is the important thing. David recognized the sovereignty of God. David said, Lord God, I am a dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing adulterer and murderer, and I confess it, and I want it on record, so that anything you do to me, I say in advance, you're right, you're right, you're right. That's what God wants from us. You see, I don't think there's any doubt of the fact that the lowest hell may be reserved for the man who goes around day by day and says, well, after all, you mean to say that God is going to send some people to hell? Now, if God were just, wouldn't he do it my way? No, he wouldn't. God is just. And let me tell you that I believe one of the most wicked, outrageous phrases that any person can ever say would be to say, if God were just, he... Oh, shut up. He is just. God is just. And don't come sniveling and whining around and saying, but I want God to be love. And that means I want him to act like an old grandma who lets Junior do anything he wants to do. Well, God is not like that. God is holy, and God is just, and sin is sin. And God Almighty says that we have to recognize it. And as Christians, we've got to say, Lord God, come in and clean me up. And whatever you want to do, it's right. If you want to chastise me, I have it coming to me. More than you will ever give, because you gave to Christ, so that you wouldn't have to give it all to me. I say this, that thou mightest be just and clear when thou judgest. If you want to know what I am, says David, I am whittled off of Adam. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There, by the way, is David on the doctrine of the virgin birth. For if Jesus was not born of the Holy Spirit, then he would have to say, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And here's David saying that the virgin birth is an absolute necessity, because if you deny the virgin birth, you say that Jesus Christ was born of Adam's race and that he had original sin in him. That's how important the doctrine of the virgin birth is. It's tied right up with the reality of the absolute deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Martin Luther said that there are some people that are real believers that believe this, 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 and this, and then he says, illogically, they believe some fool thing way over on the other side. And if somebody comes to me and says, do you think it's possible for a man to be born again and deny this or that doctrine? Yes, it's possible. But believe me, it's not in the will of God. And here's the truth, you see. He says, I am by nature a child of Adam. I was conceived in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the inward parts. That's where God wants you to be holy. Not on the surface, but in the inward parts, that holiness should grip you, that your life should be yielded to him, that you should understand these great truths. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And if you have truth there, it won't be coming out lies on your tongue. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And thy in the inward part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Oh, don't make light of your sin. Don't try to gloss it over and say, this is not very great. It is great. Anything that can separate you from God is a horrible thing, and sin separates. And when you have sinned, come back to God as a Christian and say, Christ died for me, now apply it to me. I don't ask thee to apply it to me as though I were fine and everything was lovely. I come, Lord God, with all my advantages. When I sin, it's worse than when a convict sins. Why, you've been brought up in a Christian home. You've had the gospel preached to you. If you commit some sin, it's 50 million times worse than if a savage in Africa does it. You've had all the advantages of life and home in the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ. God desires truth in the inward parts. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Call things by their right name. Get right down to them. Say, Lord God, this is guilt. If it's only in your mind, nevertheless, say it's uncleanness, it's fornication, it's lasciviousness, it's lying, it's cheating, it's stealing, it's my heart, O God, and I need the cleansing flow that comes from the cross of Calvary. And then he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Because that's what comes after. If you want joy and gladness, you've got to go through these other experiences. Don't ever think that God's going to give you joy if you cover up your sin. Make me to hear joy and gladness, so that the bones which thou shalt have broken shall rejoice. Some of you are fighting with sin. Some of you are fighting with what you call your darling sin, your besetting sin. And it besets you, and you sin, and you sin, and you sin, and you sin in the same pattern. It may be a pattern of lust. It may be a pattern of daydreaming imagination that exalts everything above the knowledge of God. Learn to bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, and say, Lord, where I have been weakest, make me strongest. This is what God wants. Now look. Oh, friends, listen to me. Don't be distracted. I'm absolutely convinced of the fact that God is speaking to many a heart. And there would be every attempt of the flesh to try to draw your mind away from the thing, because God is dealing deeply with some people. And what I want to say to you is that if you're going to have revival in your hearts as Christians, you've got to follow this pattern and procedure. You've got to come down and say, Lord, deal with my pride and make me humble. Where I was proudest, make me humble. You've got to deal with this lust. You've got to deal with this dishonesty. You've got to deal with this sin, whatever it is. Make the bones that thou hast broken to rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Now, this is an Old Testament prayer. I can't pray that, because God has already created the new heart in us. And renew a right spirit within me. That has already been done in us. Cast me not away from thy presence, which means do not exile me from Jerusalem. God cannot cast us away from his presence. We're in Christ. and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God could no more take the Holy Spirit from a born-again believer than he could take eternal life from a born-again believer. Near, so near am I to God, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he. Dear, so dear am I to God, dearer I cannot be. The love wherewith he loved his Son, such is his love to me. Let love be without dissimulation. That means that a lot of love is with dissimulation. God says, stop it. And I'm pleading with you that as Christians, as born-again believers, as those who've been to the cross, as those who have long since said, I have no hope. I have no hope in my character, my good works, form, ceremony, religion, baptism, church joining. These things cannot save me. I'm not trusting in character, I'm trusting in Christ. All right, now says God, get up and walk, my child. What you're learning is how to walk, how to be cleansed. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who sang that? David. David! Didn't you write the 51st Psalm? Yes, I did. Well, hadn't you upon your hands the blood of Uriah and the lust of his wife? Oh, yes, he said, but I went and said, purge me with hyssop, and he cleansed me, and he renewed a right spirit within him. So now, even though I had all that upon me, I could come and say, I now may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, I may stand in his holy place. Why? Because I have clean hands, and I have a pure heart. Oh, this is why God called David a man after his own heart. Take your history and go down a list of all the kings. Henry VIII! When you got into trouble with a woman, what did you do? I cut her head off. Caesar, when you got into trouble, what did you do? I killed them and banished them. Monsters of history, what did you do when you sinned? We had our own way and did as we pleased. David, when you got into trouble, murder and adultery, what did you do? I cried unto God and he saved me. He took my feet up out of the horrible pit and set them upon the rock. Put a new song in my mouth and established my going. Ah, says God, there's a man after my own heart. He was king, and he didn't act like Henry VIII and Caesar. He didn't act like the monsters. He came as a humble sinner and acknowledged before me, and I delight in him, and I call him a man after my own heart. The Lord God Almighty loves you, loves you, loves you. He wants you to have the solid bones instead of the broken bones. He wants you to walk in the joy and delight of his presence as a forgiven child.